Biz Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Moran. On today's show, we hear from Chris Hutton for the Center for Risk Analysis about Volkswagen Group Africa that says it becomes more and more difficult to do business in South Africa. And February's inflation remains unchanged from January. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about how the economy is doing and tomorrow's interest rate decision. The international business news, Irish exports to the US continue to surge ahead before possible trade barriers starting next month. In investment news, the insurer Old Mutual reports a 20% increase in headline earnings. And we also chat with Dr. Jaishila Rajput of the organization Tomorrow Matters Now.
A look now at local business news.
Last week, Volkswagen Group Africa highlighted some of the frustrations experienced by local manufacturers doing business in South Africa. What are their main frustrations and do they have merit? Chris Hunting from the Center for Risk Analysis tells us more.
The main frustrations put forward by Volkswagen Group Africa Chair and Managing Director Martino Biena focused on things such as electricity supply, logistics issues at the ports, and also the labor markets and labor regulations that make it difficult to employ South Africans. So these are issues that have been long running in South Africa. Many manufacturers have highlighted them. It's the fact that Volkswagen, which creates a lot of jobs, which invests a lot in places like the Eastern Cape, is also highlighting this now, does indicate that they are concerned about their operating environment, that they're worried that they can't make a compelling case to manufacture in South Africa anymore. Volkswagen globally is under a lot of pressure, especially in the EU, as a consequence of the imports of Chinese vehicles and electric vehicles specifically. So for Volkswagen South Africa, they need to make a case to the global office that they need to continue investing and manufacturing in South Africa.
The Parliamentary Budget Office says the proposed increase in value-added tax should not be implemented until legislation is passed. Members of Parliament discussed Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana's proposal to increase VAT by 0.5% this year and again next year. The PBO says implementing the increases before the Rates and Monetary Amounts Bill is passed will undermine Parliament's public participation processes. However, the VAT Act allows the Finance Minister to implement changes to VAT. And the annual consumer price inflation for February was less than what economists predicted. The annual consumer price inflation for February was 3.2%, unchanged from January. The main contributors to the 3.2% annual inflation rate were housing and utilities, food and non-alcoholic beverages, and restaurants and accommodation services. The annual inflation rate for goods was 2.5%, up from 2.4% in January, and for services 3.8%, down from 4% in January. Food price inflation accelerated from 2.3% in January to 2.8% in February. We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, while the budget is being discussed, there are two important announcements this week, today's inflation and also tomorrow's interest rate decision. Now that we know what inflation has done, what do you think we can expect from the interest rate?
We started the year with optimistic forecasts for economic growth, but high-frequency indicators make me a little concerned. Mining production decreased by 2.7% year-on-year in January. In manufacturing, production shrank by 3.3% on a yearly basis, but at least grew by 0.2% on a monthly basis. Purchasing managers indices also show a slowdown in activity and the positive sentiment. APSA and the Bureau's manufacturing index stands at 44.7 points, indicating contraction. S&P Global's index improved slightly to 49 points. RMB and the Bureau's business confidence index for the first quarter remained unchanged, but the sub-indices for retail, wholesale, construction, and manufacturing were lower, pulled up only by optimism among new vehicle sellers. Confidence in the so-called other services sector also shows mixed sentiment. Despite all the uncertainty, the rand has held its value relatively well, mainly because the dollar is slightly weaker. The oil price is also lower, which will help reduce fuel prices and ease inflationary pressure. All of this means that this week's repo rate decision is important. Considering all the risks, our repo rate is likely to remain unchanged
Thanks very much, Prof. Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
Irish exports to the US continue to surge ahead as companies race to ship goods before expected tariffs take effect next month. In January, the value of Irish goods exported to the US reached nearly 12 billion euros, an increase of more than 80% compared to the same month last year. Economists believe businesses, particularly in the pharmaceutical sector, are accelerating shipments to avoid the upcoming trade barriers. This comes as US President Donald Trump prepares to impose a sweeping range on tariffs on, among others, Ireland. Starting on the 2nd of April. He claims the move is intended to reclaim wealth that, in his words, the US foolishly gave away to other nations.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Old Mutual has received regulatory approval to launch its bank and has increased its final dividend following strong profits growth. The insurer reported a 20% rise in headline earnings to 8.3 billion rand in this year into December last year. These strong results allowed it to raise its final dividend by 6% to 52 cents a share, taking total shareholder distribution for the year to 86 cents per share. It also secured a banking license on the 14th of March, paving the way for a phased-out rollout of Old Mutual Bank, with a full national launch expected by late 2025. Before we say goodbye, we chat with Dr. Jaishela Rajput of the organization Tomorrow Matters Now about the implications of CBAM on the Western Cape business front and the support available for businesses with regards to managing the carbon footprint. What support is available for businesses to mitigate some of the risks and leverage the opportunities in CBAM?
The way that CBAM stands is that it really is about carbon emissions. And one of the areas of key focus when it comes to carbon emissions will ultimately become the energy supply. So for this, there are a number of initiatives that are underway, including the Integrated Resource Plan, the Clean Energy Roadmap, as well as the Energy Resilience Program. This means that in the Western Cape, we are working towards a cleaner energy mix that will help to reduce the carbon emissions related to energy consumption. This is very much a work in progress as the Western Cape becomes a net energy exporter. The Western Cape has further developed a wheeling toolkit to help municipalities within the Western Cape and the private sector to implement third-party electricity wheeling. So this can be a game changer as we introduce increased renewables into the grid, as well as more specifically closer tie the energy, clean energy generation to users of that energy, and that in turn can become a game changer. Additionally, there are a number of initiatives that focus on resource efficiency that will help companies reduce their carbon emissions overall.
What is the experience in relationships or partnerships that have been developed?
This is a key point as companies will need to rely on their suppliers to provide key input data, as well as their EU customers in turn to help navigate this process. So it means that there needs to be more cooperation across the supply chain. And at the moment, there's still a lot to be done within the space as everyone is starting to get to grips with what the requirements are and to navigate this.
What lessons can we take forward and what opportunities exist to leverage going forward?
Clearly, start early and put systems in place. The reporting can be quite onerous, especially when it comes to the calculation of the carbon emissions. It's quite a complex process, and this means that there may be a need for data collection at various stages of the process. We highlight this in particular because if the exporters are to use the generic carbon emissions and the data that's available, this may in turn disadvantage them. So as a consequence, we're really advocating for own data to be utilized because this puts you in a stronger position. So start early, put systems in place.
How can people know more about this work?
As part of our commitment to raising awareness and educating our audience, we actively utilize our social media platforms to share valuable insights on critical topics. So as an example, we posted something on LinkedIn where we specifically crafted messaging to highlight potential impacts on South African exporters, particularly in sectors such as iron, steel, aluminium, which are highly carbon intensive. The post provides a detailed breakdown of the key phases of CBAM, starting with transitional reporting requirements, which is this period 2023 to 2025, and moving into the more financial implications of the definitive phase, which starts in 2026 onwards.
And that was Dr. Jaishila Rajput of the organization Tomorrow Matters Now. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.